Oh, good morning, babe. You look nice. How'd you sleep?
Well, you should know. You snored loudly enough to wake us both up. And I have a meeting this morning. I didn't get any sleep.
Oh, baby. I'm sorry I was snoring. You know, I got this little cold.
You must have a little cold every night, Jeremy.
Maybe I'll try sleeping on my side tonight. Maybe that'll help.
It won't help me for my meeting today.
Oh, Janine, I'm sure you're going to do a fantastic job at your meeting. You always do.
Well, that's because I've usually had more sleep. I'll probably make a fool of myself. I can't even think straight.
Well, you look pretty.
I look pretty? Do you see the bags under my eyes? I look horrible. Thanks to you.
Fine, you look horrible. And have a crappy meat.
Oh, I can't stand him.
Hi, Mommy, you look so pretty.
Don't hug me. You'll wrinkle my outfit. Why are you coming downstairs so late anyway? Didn't I tell you to hurry up and have breakfast with your father? Now you're going to make me late. I'll have to stop and pick something up for you to eat on the way.
I'm sorry, Mom.
Where are you ready to go? Do you even have your homework with you? Where's your backpack?
I have it. Oh.
And I swear, if I see one more C out of you, C means average. Don't you understand that? And you're not just average, are you? Well, are you?
I don't know. Is average bad?
Oh, my God. It's not good. Is that what you want to be, not good? Because that's what C's mean. And if you keep bringing home C's, that's what you'll be.
Well, did this lady remind you of somebody you know? Yeah. Well, it occurs to me that about my childhood, when the little girl was discouraged by her mother. There's a phrase says, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me." Really? How many of you believe in this phrase? Well, I hope after today's teaching, you will change your mind if you agree with it. Today, as we continue looking at James chapter 3, the tongue, we will learn that through the wisdom of God, not only we can put our tongue under control, but also to use it in a way to bear fruit of righteousness for God. If you have Bible, let's turn to James chapter 3, verse 1. James chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment, for we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well." From the beginning of this chapter, why the author set up this tone and made such a huge deal by warning his Jewish brothers who wanted to teach? Well, let's look back the situation in James' day. The Jews regarded teachers, which they called a rabbi, with great awe and gave them much honor. Teachers were important in the early church. For the sake of prestige or some other motive, some who were ambitious sought a teacher status for the wrong reasons, according to the way how they lived and handled God's word. James warned them that they will be judged with greater strictness by God. If so, who would dare to teach the Bible today? How can we teach without making any mistakes? Verse 2 says, But we all stumble. In other translations, this word can be sinned or failed to God in many ways. The author drew a circle that you and I are all in it. But if anyone does not sin or fall in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Words reflect a person's character and heart. Verse 3, now if we put the bits into the horse's mouth so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Verse 4, look at the ships also, though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. Horse is big and strong. Control it by putting the bit into its mouth. Ship is great and driven by strong winds, but it can be directed by a small rudder. Verse 5. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body, and it sets on fire the course of our life, and it is set on fire by hell. For every species of beasts and birds, or reptiles and the creatures of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. Let's unwrap this a little bit. Speaking of the tongue, first, we all know that tongue is a member of the body, an organ of speech. It was made by God when he created Adam and Eve in his own image. God was pleased with his design after 6 days of his works. He saw everything that he had made, and it was very good. In James chapter 3, the author uses imaginative or figurative words to describe and communicate with us about our speech. In other words, he uses a member of our body, the tongue, as a symbol for speech. It is obviously not the tongue as an organ which corrupts the whole person, but the capacity for speech which has such a corrupting effect. The tongue is a small part of the body, both of great things. Psalm 12:2-4 says, they speak falseness to each other with flattering lips. With a double heart they speak. May Yahweh cut off all flattering lips. The tongue speaking great things. Those who say, with our tongue we will prevail, our lips are on our own, who is Lord over us? See, boasting on a thing is pride. The tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue burns with blazing heat. It causes the heat of contention. James chapter 4 talks more about this. It sets others in a flame, a world of iniquity. The tongue was at first made to be an organ of God's praise, but it has become an instrument of unrighteousness by misusing it. The tongue becomes an unruly evil. A tongue can be used as an instrument by the enemy to lie, to boast, to flatter, to fight, to accuse, to kill and destroy, to against God and each other. I listed 15 types of tongue here. 15 types of tongue. You can look at them. For example, the Bible gives us a lot of illustrations about different tongues. Israel prophet Balaam chose to follow Balak, king of Moab, and curse his own people since his greed of money. A murmuring tongue is an unthankful tongue. Israelites were murmuring to God in the desert even after he provided manna from heaven for their need. They were discontent because of their lustful desires. A cruel tongue is sharp as a sword. We know Job's wife said to him after he had lost everything except her, and she said, "Do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die." That's pretty cold. Seducing tongue by fine rhetoric lure men into error. In the book Judges, Delilah enticed Samson to cause him to lose all his strength and fall into his enemy's hands. Look at our life today. A lawyer has a tongue that can be sold for money to defend for injustice. The scoffer who delights in his ungodly thoughts and the ways seeks to trash or bully others who hold to views different than his own. Boasting tongue, men like to give glory to himself, boast of their own worth and power. His self is his idol, and he loves to have his idol worshipped. Fluttering tongue, a man that flutter his labor, spread a net for his feet. Proverbs 29:5. To dissemble love is not better than to lie. Speaking lie, have you ever been lied to? Lying is such a sin that could rob all your credibility and reputation away and leave you shame and regrets. God hates a lying tongue. We will talk about this more later. Thinking about this, is there a time when your spouse tries to bring up something but afraid that you will blow it up? Is there a time your kids want to talk but afraid that you will judge them or pour cold water on them? Or is there a time when you try to reach out to somebody but you are afraid that you will be ridiculed or rejected? Many of us were traumatized by the tongue before. Words that you might have heard from your past, like, "You are a mistake," or "You shouldn't have been born," or "You are not good enough," "What an idiot," "Why can't you just be like your friend?" "Well, you are not pretty," "Your worthiness," "Well, I wish I didn't marry you." People make fun of you with a part of your body by calling you a nickname. The tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of our life. In Matthew 15:10-11, when Jesus called the people and said to them, "Hear and understand, it is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a person." In verse 18-19, Jesus explained to his disciples about this parable. What comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person, for out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. As a brother of Jesus, I believe James heard this teaching. Out of his Jewish religious background, James knew that his converted Jewish brothers and sisters needed to change the way they used to be. And this change has to start from inward, from their hearts. The tongue is set on fire by hell. Hell is represented as a place where the fires continually burn. Same word used in Matthew 5:22. The idea here is that which causes the tongue to do so much evil derives its origin from a hell where Satan and his followers belong to. In the spiritual realm, the very spirit of that world of fire and wickedness, a spirit of falsehood, slander, blasphemy, and all kinds of evil, seems to inspire the tongue. Remember, this book, which James wrote, was inspired by God. The word hell characterizes much of what the tongue does, and this is the fountain where the bitter water spews. The tongue is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. Words can hurt and wound people deeply. The tongue speaks evil into people's soul. In Romans chapter 3, Paul argued that either Jews nor Gentiles were justified by their religious or works, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. As Paul quoted from Psalm 143 and Psalm 10:7, he says, "Their throats and are open graves. With their tongues they keep deceiving. The poison of vipers is on their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. No one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison." Verse 8, James' response echoed with Paul's teaching again. It speaks to us as a human being, our total depravity and the fallen nature. We are absolutely helpless and doomed to be condemned by our sin. It is set on fire by hell through the tongue. We could not live a way to please God, even a small part of our body, the tongue, if without God and his help. So what the tongue does? It speaks evil. It is set on fire by hell. It is full of deadly poison. It is uncontrollable and restless. It defiles and corrupts the whole person. It causes your whole life in trouble. It brings judgment. So what can we do about the tongue? How can we get help from God? As we continue on, I hope you will find some help from next several verses. Verse 9, "With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things were not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh." Curse, according to the dictionary, it means to wish or pray against anyone. That is, to wish evil to invoke a power to harm another. From describing the tongue to address the real problem, James uses the first person to include all the believers, we. We, as Christians, praise and bless our Lord and Father. We don't have problem with that. And yet, we curse men. Men include all who have been made in the likeness of God on earth. Have you ever cursed your spouse? Or somebody who drove on the highway and cut you off? Have you spoken hatred toward other races who are different than your skin and the culture? a fountain, does the Lord send out the same opening both fresh and the bitter water? A fig tree cannot produce olives, or so does a vine not produce figs. Each source has its own function and produce one kind of outcome. Salt water cannot make itself fresh again. So, my sisters, as Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. I grew up in a culture where people often get their anger or resentment out by cussing each other, including insulting, shaming, criticizing, belittling, gossiping, or evil speaking, accusing, threatening, condemning. I was a little girl when my dad poured out his anger on me week after week, year after year, with his uncaring and cruel words, which were like a knife and cut deeply into my heart. Leaving unseen and unhealed bruises and wounds in my life, I chose to leave home and start my own life in a new city. I thought separation and a new start would be a way to help myself forget those hurts. But I was wrong. I did not know how severely poisoned I was, and my life was sinking in the world around me. Until the day I met Jesus from hearing the gospel, I learned from that moment that I am loved by the Heavenly Father, even though I felt unworthy and shameful. The first time I know that how precious I am in God's eyes, that He sent His Son Jesus, died on the cross for my sin, for bringing me back to Him. The Word of God has impacted me in many ways. Soon after I became a Christian, I started soaking myself into God's Word, the Bible. I found myself have never hungered for a book like this book. It is God's Word and His work have changed me my entire life. His tender love and grace have reached to a wounded girl like me in China 13 years ago and saved me from an atheist background. He brought me to His family and called me His daughter. He is the only one from the first place to speak truth, life, love, and hope into my life. Verse 13, who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have a bitter jealousy and a selfish ambition in your heart, do not be boast and tell lies against the truth. The wisdom is not that which comes down from above, that is earthly, natural, and demonic. From where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. Boast. Here the word is different than the verse 5 boast. Here it means to boast at the expense of another, or boast against, exalt over someone or something, or degrade another. Any boast or arrogant is for glorifying one's self. Both boast and a lie are working against the truth. Again, James exposes the religious hypocrisy's lifestyle by creating a public impression, an outward show, dissembled to cover up their real purpose and motivations. They'll play acting as religious, but inside are filled with bitter jealousy and selfish ambition. They stir up disorder and all kinds of evil things wherever they exist. Such wisdom is earthly, fleshly, and demonic. In James 1:26, He says, if anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. James was warning us to be very careful with our heart and the motives, knowing that the sin we used to have has affected and influenced our Christian life. But thanks be to God, who has given us a new heart, that we can live our lives for Him. Our peace and joy from God once were given away by the misusing of our own tongue, but now we learn to use our tongue through the wisdom of God. Verse 17 and 18. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Finally, James pointed out the real issue is the heart. What restores in people's heart will be manifested through their words and deeds. So what is wisdom? Wisdom is the capacity to understand and function accordingly. As a result, to act wisely, as verse 13 says, who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. We all know that Proverbs called wisdom literature. In Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. God is the source of divine wisdom. Turning to God, acknowledging Him who is creator of the universe, the giver and the provider of life, will open the heavenly window for us to gain wisdom. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach. It will be given to him. Our wisdom for life comes from God. It will eventually help us to control the tongue and be a blessing to others. The characteristics of wisdom from God, I listed 15 of them for you to look at. Finally, we come to the application. First, guard your mouth. There is a time nonverbal behavior is better than words. The tongue problem is a universal dilemma. The only way our tongue can be subdued and tamed, brought under control, is if we submit it to the control of the Holy Spirit. The power of God will enable us to do so. I want to give you one Bible verse as an illustration. 1 Peter chapter 3, 1 to 2 says, in the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. Second, words of grace. There's a time for women to speak up with wisdom. Proverbs 31:26 says, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and the instruction of kindness is upon her tongue. Speaks with wisdom, words of uplifting, words of edifying, exhorting, encouraging, words of hope, words of love, words of healing. Your words should be tuned with the grace of God. Speak life rather than speak knife. I just made up this. Words have power, my sisters. Third, clean your heart. Forgive others who have hurt you with their uncaring words. Be merciful. Have you ever said anything to someone that was so sharp it sounded like you were attacking him or her? Were you shocked to realize that you could see something so ugly and derogatory and lead you to regret? We are all guilty of saying ugly things from time to time simply because we all have tongues. I know that the words can be forgiven, but cannot be forgotten. If you keep dwelling on them, it will be like drinking poison to yourself. The only antidote is through forgiveness. Proverbs 19:11 says, "A man's discretion makes him slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense." Before you work on your words, work on your heart. Here is my personal experience of forgiveness. After I became a Christian in China, the first thing the Lord asked me is to forgive my earthly father. It wasn't easy for me from the beginning, since those years of trauma I had in home. I had a lot of anger and hatred toward my dad. I prayed to God. I had to learn to trust in him that he will take care of my fears, heal my wounds and a broken heart. Little by little, I experienced the love of God and the peace of God because his forgiveness of my sin. I decided to forgive my dad. Years have gone by. God has been working his way miraculously into my life. By his grace, I've forgiven my dad completely and reconciled. Our relationship has reconciled. And now I can pray for him, pray for his salvation almost every day. I hope that today's message would encourage us to create a recovery operation to fix the mess which we created with our words of unkindness. Forgive others' offenses and ask for forgiveness also. The fourth one, be a peacemaker. Be at peace with God through the gospel. Matthew 5:9 says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." The last one, read Proverbs every day. God bless you, my sister. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the book, James. And thank you for each ladies here. And Lord, we come before you that we do confess that we made mistakes by our tongue. Lord, we spoke words that we shouldn't say. We ask your forgiveness, Lord. And I pray, Lord, from this day on, and help us and to wisely use our tongue for your use, Lord, and for bring life, hope, love, and good things, blessing to people around us. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.